one new prayer request for you to be praying about. And Brother Ted Tweet, his mother passed away Friday afternoon, and then he flew out there yesterday to be with the family and so forth. 93 or 94 years old. But remember the Tweet family in your prayers. Take with me your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew in chapter 13. In the book of Matthew, Jesus begins speaking to the multitudes in parables. And he speaks a series of parables, seven or eight parables here. And after he spoke the first parable, his disciples came to him and asked him, why are you speaking in parables? And Jesus said, because it is not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But he said unto you, my disciples, it is given to know. He went on to expound on that first parable, the parable of the seed and the sower. The sower being Jesus Christ, and the seed and his ministers, his church, his people. The seed being the gospel, his gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He goes on to speak another parable unto them, which we looked at last week, was the parable of the wheat and the tares, the darnel, which was a plant that grew and looked very much like the wheat. In fact, you couldn't just really distinguish it apart until it was made manifest when the fruit was born, when the seed was born, when the harvest was ready. And then the seed of the wheat is golden brown and something luscious and good to eat, and the grain of the darnel, the tares, was black. Even said to be poisonous. And then he speaks the parable of the mustard seed. And then the parable of leaven. And then his disciples wanted to know about the tares. We covered it last week, and he gives the exposition of the parable of the tares. What was represented there was the seed was the children of the kingdom. And the tares were the children of the wicked one. This morning we want to go back and we want to look at the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven and try to gain some truth there. And you might be thinking, well, why didn't he give us expositions of the mustard seed and of the leaven? Well, I don't know. But I know unto his disciples it is given for us to know what was there. Why didn't his disciples ask him about the mustard seed and the tares, and the leaven? Was it because they understood? But they weren't quite sure about the tares. So they wanted to know about the tares. When we look at the parable of the mustard seed, let's read, we want to read verses 31 through 35 and cover these two parables. It says, "And another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world." In the parable of the mustard seed, it would seem pretty straightforward, at least to me. And it would seem as though his disciples understood it. The grain of mustard seed is the gospel, or particularly the kingdom of heaven. True Christianity. And I emphasize the word true Christianity. It's not everything that calls itself Christianity, but it's true Christianity. It's his kingdom. His kingdom is likened unto a grain of mustard seed. The man is the Son of Man, as in all of them, the sower and so forth. The man is the Son of Man, which is defined for us in verse 37. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. But I submit to you, take a look in our text here and notice that he deliberately took this mustard seed. He deliberately took the mustard seed, that which was small, small in distinction of all those things that would grow up to be big. It was the smallest seed of them all. And he deliberately sowed it in his field. He deliberately took that seed and he deliberately sowed it in his field. In the world. We're told in verse 38 that that field is the world. It's his world. It's his world, as we said last week. It's his world by virtue of his being the creator of it. The tree. The tree is the kingdom of heaven. The tree is Christianity. True Christianity on earth. On earth at any given time. His kingdom is here. Since Jesus started his kingdom, it's been here on earth ever since. Yes, there are subjects of that kingdom that come and they're here for a time and they live for a time and they pass on. But there's always subjects in that kingdom. Amen. That's the tree. The kingdom is Christianity propagated by the gospel. That's how his kingdom is propagated, by the gospel. Like the grain of mustard seed would start to be very small. His kingdom, we see in the days of Jesus, very small in comparison to Jerusalem, in comparison to Judea, in comparison to Samaria, in comparison to the uttermost part of the world. Very small. I was listening to the Bible conference up at Traverse City, Michigan, Friday night and yesterday, and one of the messages, statistic was thrown out about Christianity in our world today, and they say Christianity in our world today, in the world, is about 35% of all the population. 35%. And then you take out of that which is not true Christianity. Because true Christianity is based on thus saith the Lord Jesus Christ. And they worship the Lord Jesus Christ and Him only. It's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to His commands. Actual Christianity in the world is only about 17%. That's His kingdom. That's His kingdom. You see. But then, this kingdom which we're talking about here, this mustard seed grows and it becomes a great tree. It would grow into a big tree. Christianity, His kingdom would grow into a big tree, bigger than it was at the time of Jesus. And how far-reaching would it be? Well, it would reach into all the world. Worldwide. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. The book of the Psalms in chapter 80. The Psalms number 80. And we want to look here at verses 9 through 11. He said, "Thou preparest room before it, and it filled, thou preparest room before it," I was skipping a line, "and didst cause it to take deep root." Notice that. It caused it to take deep root. Christianity has taken deep root. That mustard seed had taken deep root. "And it filled the land." This was, he's talking about Israel here. "And it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river." You see, it started out just as a seed taking deep root and spread forth into a tree, into a cedar tree here, which is a big tree, by the way. In the book of John, chapter 3 and verse 16, a verse that everybody loves to quote, but I don't think everybody understands the true meaning of John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Who is it that He sent His Son for, to die for? Those that would believe in the world. And that is representative of Well, turn with me to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, and I'll show you who that's representative. It's representative of the whole world. There's a people, not all people, but there's a people out of every nation, every tongue, every tribe in the world. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, these are those that are present in heaven. And they sung a new song saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." That is representative of the whole world. You see, it didn't say it. Every people, all people, but some from each of those nations, and kindreds, and tongues, and tribes. So we see here the parable, mustard seed. It's pretty easy to understand. Christianity, by the gospel, started out small, but it expanded and has reached into all the world. Like that tree. Parable 11. Verse 33. "Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened." Now that one, it seems like for some might be a little harder to understand. And there again, it would appear that his disciples and his apostles understood this one as well. For they didn't question him about it. They didn't ask for more explanation of it, exposition of it. It would seem as though they understood it. So this parable is there again. Keep in mind that these are representing the kingdom of heaven. It's the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we said, it's the kingdom is His people at any given time on the earth. Is His kingdom. So this parable is to show much the same as the parable of the grain of mustard seed. It's similar. And so, the gospel's reach started out small, just as that mustard seed. The gospel and Christianity started out small. Just a little bit. And its reach spread until the whole was leavened. Did you notice that in the parable? Until the whole was leavened. Now, the leaven. And this is what has perplexed some, and I believe that you know an individual, particularly that it perplexed, because there is the avenue of people that say in scriptures leaven is never good. But don't fall into that trap. Leaven generally in scripture is not good. But there was some good to leaven. And people used leaven. They used leaven in their everyday lives, and so they understood this parable. They understood the reach of leaven. But let's consider leaven as bad. Well, we know from scripture that generally it has the connotation of sin, of that which is evil, that which is not good. Turn with me to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus in chapter 12. And in verse 15, we'll begin reading. We'll read four or five verses here. It says, 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. In other words, at other times they ate leavened bread. But now they're to eat unleavened bread for 7 days. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. It wasn't even supposed to be in their houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which is every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Israel, and therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month, at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. So here we see leaven was representative of that which was not good. And it was to be gotten out of their houses. It wasn't to be in their bread. They were to eat unleavened bread. Turn with me to Numbers 34. Just one verse in Numbers 34. In verse 25. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven, neither shall the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left until the morning. In other words, concerning the feast of the Passover, which is what we read in chapter 12, and the feast of unleavened bread, there was to be no leaven. There was to be no leaven offered with the sacrifices upon the altar, burned upon the altar. For this, we can see it better in the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus, in chapter 2, Leviticus chapter 2 and verse 11. Well, it might help if I got chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 11. No meat offering, which was, you understand, wasn't meat. It wasn't flesh. It was more like meal. It was an herbs or meal of type. It was a food substance other than flesh. No meat offering, or some put in their meal offering, which ye shall bring unto the Lord, shall be made with leaven. For ye shall burn no leaven, nor any honey, in any offering of the Lord made by fire. So if it was an offering unto the Lord that was to be offered upon the altar, it was not to be with leaven. There was to be no leaven. There. Turn with me to the 10th chapter. The 10th chapter, and look with me here at verse 12 of the 10th chapter. And Moses spake unto Aaron and unto Eleazar and unto Ithamar, his sons that were left, take the meat offering, the meal offering, that remaineth of the offerings of the Lord made by fire, and eat it without leaven beside the altar, for it is most holy. No leaven in those offerings that were offered to the Lord, and that which was left of those offerings offered to the Lord, that which was the priest's portion, they were not to have any leaven with it
when they ate it, because leaven had a bad connotation. We come into the New Testament in the book of Matthew in chapter 16, in verse 6. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 6, he warned them, he cautioned them, he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Another place he said, which is hypocrisy. You see, it was a bad thing. In the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 5 and in verse 6 there. Well, turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll read this one. Here, sin. We had a man in the church was living in open sin. And pretty much all the congregation of Corinth, the church of Corinth, knew about it. And so Paul is writing this letter to correct them. And he said in verse 6, he says, your glorying is not great. In other words, by you not doing anything about this man who's living in open sin in your midst, you're glorying. He said, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaveneth the whole lump? In other words, if this sin is left go, it's going to leaven it all. And we were kind of talking about that same scenario in Sunday school this morning. What happened in Israel when there was a wicked king? Well, wickedness prevailed in the land. But when there was a good king, wickedness subsided in the land. It was tried to be put out of the land. We see it in our society today. When the righteous are rule, the righteous rejoice, the just rejoice. But when the wicked are in rule, the righteous mourn. They weep. You see. And so, in the book of Galatians in chapter 5 and verse 9, tells us the same thing. A little leaveneth the whole lump. Well, that's a given principle. We know that about leaven. But that in itself doesn't make leaven bad. But here, used in bad senses, in terms, and as of sin, it's bad. And that was the problem in the Galatian church. The gospel was good. But the Galatians have begun to mix it with works. They begin to say, well, we're in their preaching of the gospel. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized, and you must be circumcised. You must have this work with it, or you're not saved. And so Paul's writing the letter under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the churches of Galatia, correcting that. And he said, a little leaveneth the whole lump. So that is generally in Scripture, yes. Leaven is bad. But now you want a Scripture that shows us that leaven is good in Scripture. Sometimes it is. Sometimes in our society it is. We have some people who cook with very little leaven. And then we have those who cook with a lot of leaven. And you know, it's more or less a preference, but it's good. As we already established in the Bible days in Israel and so forth, there were those that cooked with leaven. They generally, in their practice, cooked with leaven, except for when they were to offer sacrifices on the altar to the Lord. And at the time of Passover, leaven was to be gotten rid of. But turn with me back to the book of Leviticus. In that same book where we seen that there was to be no leaven, we see now in the book of Leviticus that leaven's okay. They're commanded to offer leaven. Leviticus chapter 23. And look with me at verse 15. In the 23rd chapter. And we read, "And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offerings, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete." Is there anything ringing a bell here? Is it clicking with any of you yet? From the time of the sheaf offering, they were to count 7 Sabbaths. What are we talking about? This is concerning the Feast of Pentecost. 50 days? "Even unto the morning after the 7th Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord," a new meal offering unto the Lord. The Feast of Pentecost. Notice what the offering was. "Ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be bacon with leaven." Ah. So here in a wave offering to the Lord for the Feast of Pentecost was to be a wave offering. Bacon with leaven unto the Lord. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. Leaven here is good. Leaven's to be used here. This is at Pentecost. Keep that in mind. As we continue to look at this parable, keep Pentecost in mind. Now the meal. Well, meal in itself was good. Meal signifies that which is good. It's the wheat or barley or whatever was ground up fine and it was in the meal form and it was ready. It was ready to be used. It was ready to be baked. Just about. But it's unfinished. That's why I said just about. It's unfinished. You wouldn't just take a bag of flour and stick it in the oven and bake it, would you? Is that what you do? What would you end up with? Bacon flour. You know, and would you eat it? No. So it's unfinished. To be edible, it needs something added to it. Right? To be edible, it needs something added to it. And at least oil. And leaven. In the book of 1 Kings. The book of 1 Kings in chapter 17. And we'll turn there. 1 Kings chapter 17. I was thinking about just maybe referencing. Here we have the widow of Sarah. In verse 12. Chapter 17 and verse 12. And you recall Elijah has gone to her. And has commanded that she bake him some bread and give him a drink. And she said in verse 12, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die." She was going to take that little bit of oil that she had left, and that little bit of meal, and she was going to mix it together, and she was going to make her herself a cake of bread. For her and her son, they were going to eat it and they were going to die. Something's left out of here in the phrase. Most likely, she had some leaven that was going to go in this. Because they generally cooked with leaven unless it was prohibited. It just made that much, it made it more palatable. You see, it needed the leaven in it to make it more palatable, more desirable. And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." Now, keep that in mind. We have three ingredients. We have the meal, we have the oil, we have the leaven. All to make something that's palatable. All to make something that is good for us. Now the woman of the parable, the woman takes the leaven. Well, generally in Israel's day, in the Jewish day, customary for the woman to be the one doing the baking. So, woman's used here. But is there any significance that we can draw from the woman? Well, yeah. She's representative of what? In Scripture, she's representative of the church. The church. A chaste virgin. The bride. She is representative of the church, a chaste virgin, a bride. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2, Paul speaking to the Corinthians said, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Christ is the bridegroom. The church is the bride, is the woman. We have that same likeness in the book of Ephesians in chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, in where he gives to us the illustration of husband and wife in verse 24, it says, "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ," as the church, the woman, the bride, to be of Christ, is subject to Christ, "so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." See the likeness, husbands and wives, Christ and the church, husbands and wives, Christ and the church. Look at verse 32. "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Christ is the man, if you please. Christ is the bridegroom. The church is the bride, is the woman. A chaste bride. Now, verse 26 tells us that he's making her chaste. He's making her pure. "That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." Now, speaking of Christ and the church, he says, so the church, the woman. Now consider this. the woman, the church, on the day of Pentecost. You got it? Received oil. Received the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon her, the church, not individual, but the church, in great power. And she was to take the leaven, the gospel of Jesus Christ, into the three measures of meal. That which is good. That which is good, but it's unfinished. As is representative of Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. The church was to take it where? To Judea, or Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. And into the uttermost parts of the world. You see, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, they were good and ready, but they were unfinished. They had the law and the prophets, but they had not the fulfilling of the law and the prophets in the form of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ. And so take the leaven, take the oil and the leaven into the meal. You see, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Turn with me to the book of Luke. The book of Luke in chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Verse 46, he said, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooveth Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, and ye until ye be endued with power from on high. This is the rendition that we have in the book of Acts of what he said here to the church, to the 11, in Luke chapter 24. Acts chapter 1. Remember, Luke said Jerusalem and in all the world. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. The church shall go at least 120 strong at this time. Shall go. Where shall they go? Where shall they take the leaven? Where shall they take the oil? Into the meal. Into the three measures of meal. Into Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, until the whole is leavened. Unto all the world. You see? And that's what the church has been doing ever since the day of Pentecost. Pentecost is when she received the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. Now, this great truth, the truth of the church and her taking the gospel into all the world was the secret in verse 35. They've been hidden since the foundation of the world. It had been hidden until the days of Christ, when Christ established it, when he established his kingdom, when he set forth his church and sent her into all the world. The church was hid from the foundation of the world. The Old Testament saints didn't see the church. It was a mystery. It was a mystery to them. It was a mystery that needed to be revealed. Look at what Paul said in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. In verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand at my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. He's not talking about the gospel here. The gospel wasn't a mystery. Adam saw the gospel. Abraham saw the gospel. As did Isaac see the gospel? As did Jacob see the gospel? As did David see the gospel? As did Simeon prophesy of the gospel and its far-reaching effect upon the Gentile, upon all the world? At the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he has to be talking about another mystery. He's talking about the mystery of the church. Amen. The Old Testament saints didn't see the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. By his Spirit. You see, Paul received it by revelation, as did the other apostles, received a revelation of Jesus Christ to them. Jesus Christ was teaching that to them here in these parables. What a blessed example we have in the parable of the mustard seed and the leaven. We have Jesus beginning to expound to them How his kingdom is going to reach into all the world. And then in the parable of the leaven, he tells them how that's going to come about. How it's going to have this far-reaching effect into all the world. It's going to have an effect because I'm going to establish my church, and my church is going to take it to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and into the uttermost parts of the world. And she's going to become a large kingdom. A kingdom here on earth, of the saints of the Lord Jesus Christ. In closing, this parable is teaching us responsibility. That we as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a responsibility. Our responsibility is take the gospel. Take the gospel of Jesus Christ to all that we can. All that we come in contact with. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, he told us, the church, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Shall we stand together, have a song in closing?